I hope. Anyway, all right, we are in Revelation. Revelation chapter 14 and 15 is our section. We did not have class last week. We had our missionary in Canada, the Paulises. We had a missionary couple here. Mrs. Paulus spoke at the mother-daughter banquet. That was great. And that was right here in this room, and then everything was tore down, put back to an auditorium again, and then we had our morning service. Brother Paulus spoke, did an excellent job. We had a great day last Sunday, but we didn't have our class, so I want to give you a little bit of a review here. We're in section number 6, Revelation chapters 14 through 19, and we are on lesson 31, which is called An Assortment of Messages. So if you do not have lesson 31, raise your hand. We want to get that to you. Lesson 31. Everybody okay? We have several with hands up over here. It's all on this side. All right. Thank you, Ed. Everybody else has it. Very good. And our memory verse is from Revelation 15 and verse 3. This is not on, is it? Sorry about that. All right. Oh, that makes a difference, doesn't it? Still sound good? Sounds a little tinny to me. No? All's well. Okay. Revelation 15:3 is our memory verse. And let's go ahead and say that. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15:3. And let's do it again. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 15:3. Father, we thank you so much for this day and the opportunity that we have to meet together and hear the preaching of thy word. And Lord, for all of our classes and all that's going on in our ministry, I pray for your power and ask that if there's anyone not saved in this place on our property, that God, today be the day they would come to Christ. Help us to present the word of God clearly. And then we again ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth, that our lives would not be the same, but God, that we would learn something, that we'd grow, that we'd be more like you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, this is an assortment of messages. Now, again, if you follow other outlines and everything, you have probably never seen this outline because I've written this outline. It is my way of presenting Revelation. Again, I'm not saying it's better than anybody else. It's just how I've studied it myself and written the outline myself. There are so many different kinds of different outlines of Revelation in commentaries and everything. And again, as we've said from day one, which I believe was almost 3 years ago, when we started in Revelation, 2.5 to 3 years ago, which is unbelievable. Brother Chase we were talking about that, and he said, it's amazing how long it's taken. We're in Revelation 14. And then I showed him my notes, and you see my notes, you understand why it takes so long. Just because it's written, then you have to, all those times that I put dot, 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 that means preach. So see, the teaching becomes preaching, and Revelation is full of preaching. But the thing we've learned in Revelation, as much as anything, we've learned about subjectivity. And what is that? That is, if the Bible doesn't say, we can only speculate. You can't be adamant on things where the Bible doesn't say. And so we come up to it and say, well, you know, this is what we think. And then 10 other people say, well, this is what I think. And so, you know, we will discuss Revelation and who the two witnesses are and all that, and we'll find out when we get to heaven that Pastor Rogers was right. But anyway, no, we don't know. We just have to guess, and we study and do our very best to understand it. But the key thing is how God speaks to your heart as we go through Revelation. And the thing that stands out to me is, folks, Jesus is coming. And I think he's coming soon. I'm just watching more and more things. You know, the world is, it is just, it's so quickly. That old world system that God said, love not the world, that old world system is getting more and more powerful. It's getting stronger and stronger. We have things going on. Just, it is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And so I'm excited, and I hope you're excited. You could be discouraged. You know, you read the paper and all these things, and you know, the statue. You know, I'm not going to be discouraged about a dumb statue. I'm not going to be upset about, hey, the NFL selected a homosexual. Aren't we excited? Well, just tell me, can the guy play football? If you're going to talk about football, talk about football. Don't tell me, you know, what kind of things the people do and their sins and all that kind of stuff. But if the world's going to do all that, I'm just going to keep looking up. Amen. Amen. And I'm excited. Jesus is coming. So Revelation's all about that. And these messages, this assortment of messages, I want to give you a timeline to remind you the rapture as we study. Again, there we can only speculate a timeline. There's some things we know. There's some things that are clear. And yet there's some things we just kind of have to wonder. We think, as we're here in Revelation 14 and 15, we think we're past the midpoint of the tribulation. We think that the rapture certainly has taken place. We believe the rapture takes place. That actually starts the seven-year tribulation. And we believe the rapture, Christians, we're gone. We're in heaven. We're having the marriage supper of the Lamb. And just the word supper ought to get you excited. Amen. I mean, really, Lamb ought to get us excited because that's what it's all about. Amen. But we are still a little carnal on this side. And so with supper, you know, I'm thinking steak. I'm thinking pork chops because Jewish law will not be in heaven. And I'm thinking bacon. I'm thinking bacon wrapped steak. What's that, a filet? See, I'm getting you excited about Mother's Day and the steak that your husband's cooking for you. Wives look, what? But anyway, so these messages, it's awesome. I mean, the messages are so good. We had number one, the message of the 144,000. That was verses 1 to 5. I talked about that several weeks ago. And the 144,000 are going through something that nobody else has ever gone through, as far as we can tell. And again, it's similar to persecution today. It's similar to the persecution that goes on in other nations today. But the 144,000 sing a song that's never been sung. And it's because of their unique experience. They get saved during the tribulation, and then they preach the gospel during the tribulation. And they have to do right the whole time. So there's a persecution of the Antichrist, which is, it's just unbelievable, the persecution. And so they sing a song nobody's ever sung, and it is a testimony of what God has done for them during the tribulation. And then we have the message of the first angel. And again, we've gone past, I believe, the midpoint of the tribulation. Antichrist has broken his covenant, which he does. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. Where there's deception, you might as well figure the devil's somewhere around. I mean, he's a liar. So he's broken the covenant. We're past the midpoint. He's the persecution of the Jews and he's broken the covenant with them. They're dying. People are dying. And the message of the first angel, which is simply called another angel. This angel's flying around the sky preaching. And again, you know, God has only used men and women to be soul winners. That's amazing. He's not, he's not used animals to be soul winners. He's only used men and women. Well, now we have an angel that is preaching the gospel, just circling the globe. It's like, night and day. You think people get mad at you for talking to them once a month about the Lord? You know, my neighbors, they sometimes kind of run when they see me coming. But no. This angel, he's just going to circle the globe preaching the gospel. And then number three is the message of the second angel. And again, no name of the angel given, just another. And so the word another means like the other, but just another angel, no name given. And talks about the destruction of Babylon, which again, Babylon, there are cities. There was a city named Babylon. There are cities named Babylon. I've had people, I'm thinking of somebody right now, that's talking about Babylon, New York. Did you know there's a Babylon? How many of you knew there was a Babylon, New York? There really is, just a little outskirt of New York City, a little suburb there. And, that's talking about, that's one of those, I don't know what it's talking about. I think it's talking about the world system. I really do. I think Babylon here refers to, again, it could be where Babylon was and all that. They're talking about, we talked about this in Iraq. They're in the process of restoring the site of ancient Babylon. Could be, I don't know, kind of making it like a monument or something like that. But I think it's a symbolic statement of the world system that is against God. Just that old world system. And it's a spiritual, it's a physical system that has affected nations since Babylon, really since sin. But so this message is about the destruction of Babylon, and it's falling apart. Then the fourth thing we saw is the message of the third angel. And this angel has a loud voice, and again, there is God's wrath is going to be poured out. Loud voice, the last hellfire and damnation message to the lost in the tribulation. It's a loud voice. The Bible says it ought to convince us we should not be silent, giving out the gospel. We should not be silent. Preachers should not be silent, preaching about hell. That's not very popular. I mean, you're not going to build big crowds. It's never been about building big crowds. It's always been about telling the truth. And people are going to hell. And we need to keep preaching it and loud. And so the last, this third angel with a loud voice preaches about the wrath of God. And again, I want you to understand, and the thing that stands out to me is verse 10. Chapter 14 and verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. It is not diluted. The wrath of God has been diluted. The wrath of God has been, God has held back. We talked about meekness, remember? I spent several Wednesdays talking about meekness. His wrath has been meek. It's been held back, all right? But in the tribulation, his wrath will not be held back. It will be full wrath of God, undiluted. And so several things were talked about there. And then we come to number five, which was the last time we met together, and that was the message of the Holy Spirit. And that was found in verse 13. And we saw three things out of that. We see rejoicing, we see resting, and then we see reaping. And so this message is obviously the Holy Spirit's comforter. It's a message of comfort. And what a blessing to those who go through the tribulation, who get saved, and who live. There will be rejoicing. There will be, by the way, the rejoicing isn't just afterwards. The rejoicing is during. And I can tell you this, you can rejoice in the midst of your problems too. We are able to. If we couldn't, God wouldn't have said so in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Brother Bennett and I, we were talking about the will of God. And, there's just certain things that we get hung up sometimes with the will of God. I preached about it Wednesday. And we get hung up sometimes. Well, I want to know exactly. And we're so hung up on the exactly, we don't do all the things God said do. That's the will of God. I mean, don't quit trying to find the big picture and start doing all the little things. And God, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You'll be in the will of God. You just do those rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. Read your Bible, pray, do right, and I really believe you're going to find that you're going to be in the center of God's will for your life. I just believe that. So, again, that is going to be going on, and a person could be right there during the tribulation. All the wrath of God, all these nasty things taking place, all the famine, all the disease, all that's taking place during the tribulation, a Christian can make it through the tribulation and rejoice. And you and I, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the world's up to, and they're up to a lot, we can rejoice in the midst of the tribulation. And no matter what your doctor says, well, you're too skinny. Well, you're too fat. Well, you have too high a sugar. Well, you have too low a sugar. Well, your blood pressure's too high. Oh, your blood pressure's too low. Your heart's beating too fast. Well, it's not fast enough. Well, no matter what, doesn't matter. We can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I mean, you ever just check your pulse and it's working? Well, it should be. And you just say, praise the Lord. Because I don't even understand how it keeps going. Anyway, I got to keep moving. I need to keep going. So there was rejoicing. There was resting. Oh, praise God for the rest. All eternity resting from our labors. Because labor in heaven won't be labor. It'll be rest. It's going to be so good. By the way, Jesus said if you take his yoke, you'll find rest. A yoke is a work instrument. So if we yoke up with Jesus, even our work can be rest. Amen. That's good stuff. But anyway, then there's reaping. That's how we ended the last time. It says their works do follow them. And certainly, in the end, there's going to be a lot of reaping. There's a lot of reaping. And I remind you over and over and over in Revelation chapters 2, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it talks about their works do follow them. Over and over. Who's watching our works? He is. I know, we don't need to worry. God just loves us and he's watching our works. Why? Because we're his workmanship. You know, you show me somebody who built something, somebody that worked on a car motor, somebody that has worked and made something and built something, and they're gonna pay attention to see if it works. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was a kid and I got all these electronics kits. I think it was called Heath Kit, and you could buy kits to build. I built a little computer, one of those. I'm talking basic, real basic. But I built it. I was excited, and it had little dials on it. And you turn this one to the number 2. You could turn it, and this one to the number 2. And then this one over here, you turn it until the meter got exactly in where it was supposed to be, and that would be on 4. So 2 plus 2 equals 4. And I was just so pleased about that. Now, I wanted to make sure the thing worked. Why? Because I built it. Remember Erector sets? We want the thing to work. I remember I was going to build a roller coaster one time with an Erector set. And it wasn't quite big enough. But I want to make sure it works. I'm still on the introduction. I know. It's all the dot, dot, dots. Number 6, then, is the message. The message of Armageddon. And that's where we're starting today, believe it or not. And I looked, verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. By the way, that's a different look than him riding on the donkey into Jerusalem that we talked about. Isn't that different? Wow, what a difference. I mean, you talk about a difference. Here is... one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Boy, that's a different look. I go back to, pre-Easter, and we're talking about Jesus. He comes in riding into Jerusalem on a colt, and he comes in, the Bible says, meek. The king comes in meek. Oh, he's the king, but he doesn't have on a crown. He's a king, but he's not. There's no fanfare as far as what he's riding on. He's on a donkey. He's a king, but they're going to crucify him. He's the king of kings. But you don't see that when he comes to die on the cross. But boy, you do see it in Revelation. Because that's what it's all about. It's revealing him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Does it really shock us that people mock Jesus? Does it really shock us? They haven't seen him wielding that sickle. It offends me when they take his name in vain. I tell people, don't do it. You ought to tell people, don't do it. Hey, that's my Savior. Don't talk about him like that. But I'm going to tell you, this is a whole different view, isn't it? He's in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. I call this the message of Armageddon because of the wording that is here. This vision clearly points to the finale of the tribulation. I mean, it's very, very clear that it's pointing at a finale. In other words, God's wrath is about to be poured out. There's so much about God's wrath. It amazes me that preachers don't preach about the wrath of God. It amazes me. No Christian, we don't want to talk about it, but it is so real in Scripture. There's so much about it. Look, if you will, at, where did I go? 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians. And I just encourage you to write these verses down. We can't spend a whole lot of time on it, but the wrath of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. By the way, same angels were hovering around the cross. Now I want you to just think about it. At any time, all he had to do was speak. Those same angels get him off that cross. Yeah, same angels. Boy, do you think they're anxious by this time to deal with the sins of mankind? Oh my. And so there he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is Bible. That is true. That is exactly how it's going to be. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Maybe the worst thing about all of that is from the presence of the Lord. For you and I, absent from the body, present with the Lord. These will be away from the presence of the Lord. There's nothing good about hell. There's nothing good about eternal punishment. There's nothing, well, you know, me and my buddies will just drink beer in hell together and party. No, you won't. You'll drink nothing. There's nothing good about it. Everlasting destruction. You know, you have people saying, well, you know, it's just hell. You'll just die and that'll be it and it'll be over. Everlasting destruction. Everlasting punishment. Eternal. The wrath of God. God's wrath. More will be said later about this, but you just can't ignore. I can't skip this passage in Revelation 14. Though, again, in our minds of our timeline, we are not at the point of the Battle of Armageddon, but God's showing a little view of the preparation before that takes place. But I was interested in the white cloud here. I looked and behold, a white cloud. And it intrigued me because I believe that might be a reference. And again, I say might because the Bible does not say clearly. But I think that's a reference to the Shekinah glory of God. And we see that over and over in Scripture. The Shekinah glory of God, a white cloud. And we see that, first of all, in Exodus. Well, it's not the first time, but just I've written down several references. And I want to look at that white cloud. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 10. Exodus 16 and verse 10, we see here the Shekinah glory of God as the children of Israel are in the wilderness. And the Bible says, excuse me, and it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. There's that cloud. Exodus 13, verse 21, talks about the cloud a little more. Gives a little more detail. Exodus 13 and verse 21, and we know, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And again, there's that bright cloud, that white cloud that glows as a pillar of fire at night and that appears as a white cloud during the day. I believe that, again, is God leading his people, and the people could see that God was watching them. Remember the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea. And it's very, very obvious God led them to the Red Sea. Well, you know, we believe God doesn't want us to go through anything bad. He led them to the Red Sea. Did he or didn't he? It's so clear. And they got to the Red Sea, and then the pillar of cloud went behind them. And the cloud was here, they were here, and the Red Sea was here, and the bad guys were over there. And God says, I'm still taking care of you. Yeah, but what about the Red Sea? What are we going to do about that? You don't have to worry about the Red Sea. God says, I'll take care of the Red Sea. You just realize that I put you here. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever Red Sea you're facing, let him deal with it. Okay, it's okay. Yeah, but the bad guys are going to stab me in the gizzard, and they're behind me, and I don't have any way. Just keep going. I'm telling you, folks, you know, Charlton Heston did not do justice, I don't think, as to the real Red Sea and what took place. I mean, Hollywood's tried, but I'm telling you, we get to heaven, I think we're going to get to see clips of what all took place. And it, just try to imagine. I mean, you know, the first person in. You know, we like to think, bless God, I'd just be so excited about that. No, you wouldn't. You'd be terrified. Amen? I mean, fish are, they're coming to the edge of the, you know, the Red Sea's piled up, the Bible says, and it's dry ground in the middle, and a fish is swimming. He goes, and he comes out to the end, and you just see a fish head, and then he goes back in. I don't even know how that can be possible. But it's exciting to think as the first person went in, and then they all go in. What is that? That's how we should live every day. I got to trust God. He's got it under control. He's going to take care of me. But again, that's a dot, 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 and I got to move on. So so there we have the Shekinah glory of God leading the people, leading them to a tough place between a rock and a hard spot. It's okay. It's okay. Just follow God. It's okay. Then we see it again, Exodus 19, verse 9. Shekinah glory of God. Oh, that's got to be the most beautiful thing in all the world. And it just makes me feel so warm and fuzzy about God. And you know, again, that's the old Christianity, kind of the thought process today. Exodus 19, verse 9. And notice what it says. It says this. It says, the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And so here he is when he's giving the law. Verse 16, it says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Why? This is God. This is the glory of God. It's not some cute, gray-haired, little old man, Santa Claus-type looking dude in heaven. This is God. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. We got to start seeing God that way, folks. We got to start seeing God the way the Bible shows us God. Of course, he's the Lamb of God. Of course, he's the one that died on the cross and rose again so we could be saved. Of course, all of that is true, but he's God. He's God. He's not the old man upstairs. Hollywood has done a disservice over and over portraying God as just some you know, warm and fuzzy kind of a grandpa in heaven. He's God. And the people, the Bible says, when they saw, they trembled. But that's because the law is being given. And I'm going to tell you, the law should cause us to tremble. Why? Because we fail. Every one of us, not a person in this room, can keep the law. Why? Romans says it's because we're weak through the flesh. Our flesh doesn't like the law. That's why there's so many people today that are so anti the Bible. And there's people today that are so anti, you can't say what we can do and what we can't do. Well, I know I can't say, but God did say. He's God. And there's just it's just a sweeping movement. Hey, I can just do my own thing. You can. God has let us have our choices, but you're going to be dealt with. You know, I used to tell my kids when they were young, I used to say, you know what? You can do whatever you want to do. But here's what I'm telling you to do, and if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to beat the fire out of you. Say, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. You know what? If the drones are taping and they're listening and they're watching and they're paying, that's the Bible. And I'm not going to back down from the Bible. No, I don't care what the government says. You're going to just keep, I'm going to keep preaching the word. I'm going to keep telling parents. In fact, tonight I'm preaching about chastening. You know, and the kids always love it. All right, kids, we're going to talk about chastening. Oh, no, Dad, don't listen. Mom, don't listen. Anyway, I got to keep moving. All right, let's keep moving. Verse 20, or chapter 24, verse 15. Chapter 24, 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. There it is again. Now, what's Moses doing? He's going to get the law. And there's the cloud. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Think about that, 6 days. There's the cloud, that's the glory of God. And it was 6 days before anything was said. Just something to think about. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Whew. And God is going to give him the law. You know, the Shekinah glory of God. Who's behind all the thou shouts and the thou shalt nots that are so hard on us? God. And he can be. He's God. Amen. Aren't you glad that air kicked on? Is anybody disappointed? No. Okay, good. We'll keep it where it is then. All right. And ushers, I need you to come. We got to get money. Amen. But they're just going to do their thing, and I'm going to keep doing mine. Notice Exodus 40. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34. Exodus 40 and verse 34. Oh, yeah, the place of God. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because a cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Amen. And then in the Holy of Holies, Numbers 9, verse 16. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 16. Again, just thinking about this cloud, just thinking about this Shekinah glory of God. Numbers 9 and verse 16. I'm kind of glad the air turned on, to be honest with you. Whoops, Numbers 9. There we go. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And again, God guiding at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. Kind of, really, I mean, it's made it obvious when they're to go, when they're to stay, when they're to rest, when they're to work. Amen. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. According to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, journeyed not. When it was taken up, they journeyed. Isn't that easy? Makes it quite simple, doesn't it? Oh, I just don't know what to do. How about just let God lead? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We have a perfect picture of it right here. You know? Anyway, that's one of those, you know. All right. Luke 1. Here's that cloud again. Luke 1, Shekinah glory of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. You know the story. I'm so glad that it's not next week that we celebrate this, because that would mean it's probably snowing. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. And there's that overshadowing Mary, the shepherds in Luke 2 and verse 9. Luke 2, verse 9, how did the sky light up? Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I suppose the angels probably had some light to them. They might have, You know, they might have a little bit of angel dust or whatever it is that makes them glow in the dark. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I do know that the glory of the Lord shone round about. And it certainly got the shepherd's attention. Amen. And there it is, the Shekinah glory of God. Matthew 17:5 is talking about the transfiguration when the disciples, several of them, got to see the Lord Jesus in his glory. Matthew 17:5, while he had spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And there's that bright cloud, that Shekinah glory of God. 2 Peter 1:17. 2 Peter 1:17. And the Bible says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." And again, there it is, the excellent glory. And we just read about that being, of course, the cloud, the Shekinah glory of the Lord. At Jesus' ascension, Acts 1:9. Acts 1:9. I hope you're writing all these down. This is such a key part here as we think about the Lord coming. Acts 1:9, at the ascension, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight when Jesus ascended to heaven. Of course, the rapture, what's it going to be known for? 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. You say, "Pastor, you're hurrying." Yes, I'm running out of time. I hate clocks. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." There it is, in the clouds. The Lord comes in the clouds, and we'll be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we're looking for next in prophecy, next in the end times. That is the rapture, and he'll be coming in the clouds. The second coming, of course, we've already read about several times. That'll be with clouds as well, Matthew 24:30. And I'm trying to finish this section, so I am going faster. Matthew 24:30. The Bible says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Again, clouds of heaven. You know, not just any old cloud. I believe it is the Shekinah glory of God. Matthew 26:64, talking about the same thing. Matthew 26:64 says, "Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." And then, of course, our references in Revelation, Revelation 1:7, how we started about 3 years ago, and you can see why it's taken so long. Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And Revelation, we've talked about it several times. The prophecy of Luke 21:27, just two more and we'll be done. Luke 21:27. Luke 21:27. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And then finally, Revelation 1:13. Revelation 1:13. And Revelation 1, many verses referring to clouds and him coming in the clouds. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. And again, that all started off with him in the clouds. We see very clearly he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. And again, all of that started. He was seen in the clouds. He is God. He is God. The Shekinah glory of God is going to be where God is. Jesus is God. And what a wonderful, wonderful picture of that. As we go back to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14, and I looked and behold a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. And then we'll continue with this next week. But you have to understand what it's all about. The revealing, the revelation, that's what it means. To reveal to all the world, he is God. All those that have mocked, all those that have made, you know, we constantly, how can they get away with that? They're not going to get away with anything. Do you understand? Nobody gets away with anything ever. As a Christian, you're not going to get away with everything either. Thank God he died on the cross, because we couldn't get away with the fact that we're sinners. We couldn't hide it. We couldn't get away from it. What we had to do is confess and get right with God and get saved. And so we could be saved and we could go to heaven. But even as a Christian, we don't get away with anything. He's a father. He's our father. You know, when you were little, what if your parents knew what you were thinking? Wow, if my dad would never have put the paddle away. I mean, he always had to get it out. He would have just kept it out if he knew what I was thinking. You know, I've run out of time. I've gone over. I'm going to have people mad, bitter, upset.